Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
Hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy, as always, to have you with us as we continue to investigate lies in our textbooks. Don't forget, these are lies which are taught to our children and our grandchildren from kindergarten to the 12th grade. We're talking recently and we'll continue to cover the study of the pillars of Islam. And today I would like to continue to expose the falsehood of these pillars. But in the same time, I believe the Lord is leading me today to speak to us Christians, because I want to compare us to the Muslim who live to practice their pillars. And I want to see where we are at in our walk with Christ. Are we living our Christian faith, or are we just here making fun of Muslims of everything wrong they have in their cult, but we at the same time are not living to where Christ wants us in our Christian faith? So we already covered two of these pillars. The first pillar was the pillar of Shahada. Muslims testify to the fact there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is his messenger. And we have covered this in detail to show that it's a false witness, for they never seen Muhammad, they never touched Muhammad, they never heard Muhammad. They just testify falsely of things they have not seen or heard or touched. But in the same time, my question to us as Christian, we believe that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead for our sins. We believe that he is the Son of God, who humbled himself and came to this world taking a form of a man, just to be the savior for our souls. But here is a question. Muslims brag about their belief, and they testify day and night many times that there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. How about us, Christian? Are we living the Christian faith? Christ commanded us to be the salt and the light for this world. Are we doing exactly what Christ command us to do? Christ command us to share the good news of his death and his resurrection, of his free salvation. Are we testifying for what Christ has done for us and the world? As it is written in the scripture, Muslims do not give an apology for their belief, and they would say there is no God but Allah and Muhammad is his messenger. Are we sharing what we truly believe in our heart with those who are around us? Do people really see Jesus in us, not only in our words, but also in our actions? That is a question for you and I to ponder as we stand faithfully before our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The second pillar we covered in our last program is the pillar of prayer. And we have shared enough information there about these five daily prayers which Muslims pray in the Arabic language as they are facing Mecca at a specific time every day. We also talked about some of the Muslim women whom I have met and I talk with who brag about their new life in Islam. For they have shared with me that before they became Muslims, they used to go to church a couple, three times a year. They never really prayed daily. And now in Islam, they do pray five times every day. They wash before they perform their prayer. And they do it religiously every day. Now, the question I have asked in our previous program is, does Christianity command us to pray only once a week or once a year? Of course, you know that's not true. For the Bible teaches us to pray without ceasing. That is 24/7. No such a thing as to pray five times a day, but we must be in the attitude of praying all day long as we think about all the things happening in our life. As we look at our friends and family members and people we meet in every day who struggle, we pray for them. For those who we share Christ with, we pray for them. for those who have sicknesses, we pray for them. And we also give thanks to God for everything good happening in our life. And even the things which seem like it's not going right in our life, we also have to give thanks because we know the scripture teaches that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Now, I remember when I was a child, and my daddy would be walking with me in the street. And as we see two street children fighting, and my daddy say, you need to be praying for them. And at the same time, you need to be thankful to God that you are not one of them. Or when we walk by somebody who's smoking a cigarette or somebody who's drunk, and my daddy would say, you need to pray for him. And you need to be thankful to God because you are not one of those who are smoking or drinking. Also, when we saw someone who is a handicap, my daddy would tell me, you need to pray for him or for her. And also, you need to be thankful for the health which the Lord has given you, that you are not a handicapped person. And the circle and the opportunity of prayer go on in our life. All what we need to do is open our eyes and open our ears to see and to hear what are other people going through. The true opportunity will be open before us to give thanks and to pray for others who are around us. My question to you is, Muslims pray 5 times a day. That is 25 times every week. Do you attend your prayer night on Wednesdays in your church? That is 1 time a week. Are you really excited about going to the church on Sunday night? Not just a Sunday morning big meeting, Sunday night, just to pray for your family, to pray for your business, to pray for your friends, to pray for the lost world, to pray for your country, America, to pray for all those politicians, those who live in right and those who live in wrong, that may God change the heart of the wicked and may our country move to the right direction. Do you have enough reasons just to be broken before God every night before you go to bed, or maybe early in the morning, to lift up a prayer for the world we live in as it is getting darker and darker every day? Because believe it or not, there's a night coming where we cannot work, the scripture said. It's still day, even if things are not looking good, but there will be a harder time to come and things will be even more difficult, to the point that true Christian will not be able to stand. Now I'd like to move to the third pillar in Islam, which is the pillar of zakat. For in the same textbook which we are using, we read the following statement.
From the Florida Teacher's Guide, Corrections to Islam Biased Content in Florida's K-12 Textbooks, Teacher's Guide, Addendum, published by Glencoe World Geography, McGraw-Hill Glencoe, copyright 2000-2003, pages 448 through 449. Muslims follow their faith's principles set down in the Quran, Islam's holy book. They also fulfill 5 duties known as the 5 pillars of Islam, professing faith in God and the Prophet Muhammad, praying 5 times a day, helping the poor and needy.
Under the words helping the poor and the needy, that is the pillar number 3 in Islam. The real name for this pillar is not helping the poor and the needy, but the real name is zakat, which is similar to what we Christians call tithing. But instead of giving 10% of our income, in Islam, Muslims give 2.5%. And I have no idea where is this 2.5% comes from. Because the true number according to the teaching of the Quran is 20%. For we read in Quran chapter 8 and verse 41, Allah said, and know that whatever you take of spoil of anything, so a fifth part to Allah and to the messenger and to the nearest relative and to the orphan and to the poor and to the son of the way. And when you read verse like that in the Quran, you need to ask yourself the question, where this money comes from? It comes from Christians and Jews and others whom Muhammad attacked and killed. And that is the reality of this pillar, the pillar of zakat. Muslims gave money in Muhammad days, not because they work hard, not because they are in good businesses and making a good living, but because simply they are fighters who went with Muhammad to fight, and they killed some innocent Christian Jews and others and took all their spoil. What is a spoil? That is not the wage of a hard working day. No, a spoil is the reward which Muslim men get after attacking and killing innocent people.
In our short time together here on Revealing the Truth About Islam, we can only cover a portion of all that we would like to share. Please take a few moments today and visit our website at www.thestraightway.org to find more information about the Straight Way of Grace Ministry and the darkness of Islam. Our website has several links to many resources for further study, including a detailed listing of the many seminars we offer on DVD. Topics include, is the Quran infallible? Has the Bible been corrupted? The treatment of women in Islam? Muhammad or Christ? What the Quran teaches about Jesus? And many more. Have you always wanted to read what the Quran actually teaches, but didn't know which translation to trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the many violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After several years of research and networking with scholars around the world, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry has recently offered the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever published. Filled with study notes to the reader and a careful comparison of key passages of the Quran and the Bible, this translation will arm you with the knowledge you need in reaching those lost in the darkness of Islam. Please take a few moments today and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org for all these resources and more. And now, back to our show.
The command of Allah was very clear. 20% of the spoil goes to Allah. Well, I did not know that Muhammad sent any money to Allah, or there were UPS or some way to send this money to Allah. No, it's just blah, blah, blah of the Quran. Words Muhammad put to make the poetry of the Quran. Allah does not receive any money. Allah is not poor to get any money, because Allah, Satan, he owns the whole world. He does not need any money or any of the camels or any of the spoil which Muslims gain from their wars. But then he said to his messenger, that is Muhammad, and then you add to the nearest relatives and the orphans and the poor and the guys who travel from one country to another, which is known as the son of the way. But in reality is, zakat, according to this verse, is 20%. Now, where can we find in the Quran 2.5%? It's not anywhere. And I have no idea where Muslims come up with this number, 2.5%. And when you study the Ahmadiyya, you will find it is not actually 2.5%, but it is 6.25%. And who knows some other cult from within the cult of Islam who come up with different number, how much Muslims should give as zakat. Now we ask the question, why are Muslims practicing the pillar of zakat? It is simply to do good deeds, for good deeds takes away evil deeds. It is to receive forgiveness of their sins. There are many ways for Muslims to receive forgiveness of their sins, like when you pray, or like when you give zakat, when you give this money to Muhammad in Muhammad days, or to the poor today, or to the jihadists who are fighting for the sake of Allah. When you do that, you receive forgiveness for your sins. But is this true? Can this be a true belief? Will God, the God of the Bible, allow people to go out to kill some innocent people to take the spoil and then give Allah 20% of it, and then they consider this to be good deeds, which can be used to remove some of the evil deeds? Or that is a false teaching? Or that is a wicked, barbaric teaching? The reality is, spoil of war, it is the result of an evil act. You cannot steal money and then give God some of this money as a good deed, especially when you kill the owner of the money or the spoil which Muslims receive from these wars. Now, the question for us as Christians is, do we truly worship God through our giving? And I'm not talking about just giving the 10%. I'm talking about the giving which is pleasing to the Lord, as every one of us examines his or her heart to see where are we in our giving before God. Worship through giving in the Christian faith is more than writing a check 10% of whatever money you make, because the ministry of the church, the body of Christ, require more than just money. It is very easy for some people to write the check, but the church cannot continue to function just by having the money in the account. And in reality, my dear brothers and sisters, I came from a poor country. That is the country of Egypt, where people are very limited on their income. We know how much each one of us make in a small church. And the church, as a body of believers, function very well in Egypt. All our bills are met. The electricity and the water were never shut off in our churches in Egypt because we did not pay our bills. We pay all our expense in the church. And the church is blessed because poor Christians who are faithful in giving to God. And when I came to America, and I'm going to share this with you with a sincere heart, not to mock you as a body of believers here in this land, but just to share what the Lord is asking me to share with you. And I'm going to repeat what Paul said. Don't get mad at me, because I'm telling you the truth. For here is the truth. American people are very blessed financially. The poorest in America is much richer than any of the people in my home country in Egypt. And I have struggled so much to see how people in the church in America are not living, are not worshiping God through their giving. Especially when the dish go by one row and another row and the third row, and here I am sitting in the fifth row and the dish is still empty. What is this we are doing? Are we truly worshiping God by going to the church and we don't have any money in our pocket to worship God through giving? What are we teaching our children who sit next to us in the pew when dad or mom takes the dish empty and pass it to the next person and it's still empty? What is the true Christian message we're teaching our children in the services while we're worshiping God in His house? Any of us can have a meal at McDonald's or coffee at Starbucks, which costs more than $5. But when we go to church, we do not carry this $5 with us to give to God as an attitude of worship. Why this is happening in America? I remember when my daddy came to America, and he wanted to sit near to the front portion of the church. And I was embarrassed to let my daddy sit there. I literally asked my daddy to sit all the way in the front or all the way in the back, because I don't want my daddy to see what I have been seeing for years, where the dish of offering, the dish of worshiping through giving, go in front of my dad after bathing 20 or 30 people before getting to my dad and still be empty, or just an envelope or two is in it. I pray that as I speak to you right now, you acknowledge your sin of not worshiping God through giving. If Muslims, the ungodly one, know how to give to the mosque to help the needs and the expense of the mosque, or to help the need of the jihadists who are willing to die for their Allah, why can't we Christians support the ministry of the church through giving? I am amazed as I travel all over the United States in many churches of different denominations. And I look at the bulletin and the amount of giving and the amount of expense, the report of the giving of the church and the need for the church. And it is in many churches, small and big. The numbers are in the negative, in red colors in some churches. Why are the churches in America suffering financially? Because simply, people in the church, that's you and I, are stealing from God. We're not worshiping God through our giving. You know, as you look through the scripture, you will never see any place that you and I can dare to test God. The Bible is very clear. We are not to test the Lord our God. But when it came to tithing, the scripture gives a bold statement. It should put us in awe to see this is the God we worship. He is willing to challenge us, to prove Himself, to prove His existence in our daily worshiping Him through giving. You know, in all the Christian faith, We believe in God, and there is nothing we can do to prove everything we go through in our life, in our Christian life. It is by faith, nothing by sight. But when it comes to the tithing, we know from the scripture that is the one thing we can prove God by actions through material giving and material receiving. And that's not my word. That's not my opinion. That is the word of God. Let's read together the verse which we are all familiar with. In Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, what does the Bible say? God Almighty is speaking there, and he said, "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me." We read the same word in other English translations to say, "And prove me," or "And test me," "And try me now in this." See, that is one thing, and that's the only thing, according to the word of God, the Bible, we can test God. Says the Lord of hosts, "If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." Have you ever tried to prove your relationship with God, your belief, to test God? Here is the one way, and it's the only way. Are you willing to go and meet with your pastor, confessing that you have not been giving according to the word of God? And you make this commitment for the next year to give sincerely, cheerfully, in a loving way to the church, and see if God will bless you or not. Here is the fact. Zakat cannot gain anyone forgiveness of sin. And zakat in the Quran was not really a good deed, for it was a money stolen from Christian and Jew after killing their men. And until we meet again for the next broadcast, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.